This is your AEW Rampage and WWE SmackDown combo stream here for April 8th, 2022. WWE unifies titles, I unify reviews. That's kind of how we do things around here. Anyway, I hope you guys are having a good Friday night, a good start to your weekend, and thank you for starting your weekend off with me, Roman Reigns. Was supposed to make some kind of an announcement tonight about what the future holds for he and the Bloodline after that very lame ending on Raw Monday night where they came out and they made an announcement that on Friday they would make an announcement. And so we come to Friday night, and what is the big announcement? The big announcement is that Roman Reigns wants Jimmy and Jey Uso. He wants his cousins to go to Monday Night Raw and do what he did at WrestleMania. He went to WrestleMania, he beat Brock Lesnar, and he unified the WWE and Universal titles. He wants the Usos to do the same thing. He wants them to carry more gold, bring more gold into the Bloodline by beating the Raw Tag Team Champions and bringing the Raw Tag Team titles into the Bloodline. And then we had an appearance, a very random appearance by Shinsuke Nakamura, who I cannot imagine is going to be the next challenger for the championship, but it looked that way, the way they went off the air. Certainly not a very inspiring choice, given the way he's been booked recently. He just took the loss of WrestleMania. He comes out there. Roman gives him a hug. Then he gets kicked in the face. And Nakamura is left looking like a jabron. I certainly hope they can do better than Shinsuke Nakamura as far as the next challenger for the championship. But then that begs the question of who? If not Nakamura, then who? They don't really have a lot of good options. But the idea that WWE is even considering unifying the tag team titles is great. Great. Not necessarily that the Bloodline will have a stranglehold on all the gold, but I've been talking about this now for a few years now as far as having one set of tag team champions that float the way the women's titles used to be. One set of tag team champions that float from show to show, brand to brand. Because the tag team division on its own is just not strong enough on each individual show. You combine the two, it isn't too bad. It's certainly better than it is now. I don't know if they're going to go through with it, but they teased it. And the last time they teased a unification a few months ago, we got one at WrestleMania. So that was actually a very surprising, but a pleasantly surprising announcement at the end of SmackDown tonight. It was not a great show. SmackDown was not a great show, but it was a newsworthy one. It was a newsworthy show because on this show we had the split, finally, between Baron Corbin and Madcap Moss. Been waiting for this now for a while. And we had the split between those two. I was also waiting to see if we would get something that we did not get on the Raw after WrestleMania, which was very unusual. We didn't get any new debuts or NXT call-ups on Monday, unless you count Elias's brother. But tonight, we had, and this has been, you know, talked about for a while, and I've talked about the idea of what's going to happen one day when Walter gets called up to the main roster. Here's how they should use him. Of course, how I think they should use him could be very different from how he actually gets used. After what we saw on NXT on Tuesday night, the only logical conclusion to be drawn from them rushing a Bron Breakker-Walter match for the NXT Championship and beating Walter clean like they did in the Nickelodeon Zone on Tuesday, that only made sense if they had decided that they were going to rush him up to the main roster. And tonight we had the SmackDown debut of Gunther. But Gunther did not come alone. He came with a friend. I say friend, not friends. Which is very weird that we did not get the complete group of Imperium. We only got partial Imperium. And not even Marcel Bartel under his name. He has also been broken in properly to the main roster by being given a different name. So we're going to talk about that as well. They weren't the only ones to show up on the show tonight. We also had the former NXT Women's Champion and Women's Tag Team Champion Raquel Gonzalez, who also has a different name now. And unlike Marcel Bartel, that is his real name. I can kind of understand why they would want to change it. Raquel Gonzalez was not her real name, so I'm a little less sure of why that was necessary in the first place. But we got some new faces on the show, and Lacey Evans is back. Now, Lacey Evans is somebody who I would not say that I was terribly excited to see the return of Lacey Evans and that gimmick to my television screen. What we saw tonight was very promising. In fact, it was one of the best parts of the entire show, and she didn't even touch anybody. There was no match. There was no action. We got a return vignette for Lacey Evans that actually has me pretty excited now to see her back. I thought that segment was fantastic. So they're getting some faces back and some new faces on SmackDown, and that's not such a bad thing. Over on Rampage, all I heard the last couple of days, you gotta see the main event. You gotta see the match between Jon Moxley and Wheeler Yuta. It was a battle of respect. People were raving about this match who were in the building on Wednesday. So tonight I sat down and I got to watch the match, and guess what? It lived up to the billing. This was a hell of a main event. And in one night, even though it's been building for a few weeks now, they made Wheeler Yuta a star. That is how you make a star. What they did with Yuta in the main event. Of course, they did it with blood, because it wouldn't be an AEW show if it was anything else. But in this case, it worked. And I thought it was a hell of a main event. Actually, they opened and closed the show in a very strong way. But I got to tell you, for all the SmackDown stuff tonight, all the Rampage, I thought on the whole was actually a pretty good show. SmackDown, not so much. But Rampage, I enjoyed. But beyond all of that, beyond everything that happened tonight, the big announcement had nothing to do with Roman Reigns. The big announcement was that on Dynamite this coming Wednesday, Samoa Joe is going to be going one-on-one with Minoru Suzuki for the Ring of Honor Television Championship, the Ring of Honor TV title that Suzuki just won at Supercard of Honor last week. His first and only championship that he's ever won in the United States. Suzuki is coming back to Dynamite, and he is getting into the ring with Samoa Joe. Is it Wednesday yet? Is it Wednesday yet? No, how many more days do we have until Wednesday? That put a smile on my face. I can't fucking wait now. That is going to be something to look forward to. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button and make sure your notification bell is on. Otherwise, you're not going to know when I go live, and then what's the point? So make sure your notifications are on. Super chats are open. They are, look at this. The super chats are just streaming on in. And I'm going to read all of your messages. And we will do that a little bit later on, as we always do. And also tonight, we're going to do a Be the Booker segment later. But tonight, I will reveal the results. The results are in. The voting is over. We have winners in the men's and women's Be the Booker tournaments, the first tournaments that we have done. The voters have spoken. I don't necessarily agree with the results in some cases, but I'm going to show the final brackets and announce the winners in the Be the Booker tournament a little bit later on. So we're going to have fun tonight. So why don't we do what we usually do here? That's right. Seth I. Roth says, all you little bots, leave a thumbs up. But we're going to start with SmackDown. Kayla Braxton was in the ring to welcome a smiling Ronda Rousey into the ring, smiling after her loss to Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania. She didn't seem overly bothered by this as she walked down to the ring. She looked very happy. They showed a replay of Charlotte winning in their match at WrestleMania, tapping out first to the armbar, even though the referee didn't see it. They wanted you to be very clear about the fact that Ronda Rousey tapped out Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania, even though she did not win the championship. When they came back, someone's finger slipped in the truck, and they played very clearly, blatantly piped in crowd noise because of the way it suddenly ended. They came back, it was kind of quiet. All of a sudden, the crowd was really up, and then it was really down. They're really bad at this. Like, there's a way to do this. If you're going to pipe in fake crowd noise on these shows, there's a way to do it. I don't know what they're doing that makes it so obvious. It just sounds awful. So anyway, she said that she wants a rematch. That was the point of this. She wants a rematch with Charlotte Flair. She wants it at WrestleMania Backlash, which I believe is May 8th. I believe that's the date of the next pay-per-view. But not just any match. She doesn't want a rematch with Charlotte Flair, regular match. She wants an I Quit match with Charlotte Flair. Charlotte interrupted on the Tron. She laughed at her and said no to her challenge. Ronda said that Charlotte isn't just going to say I quit. She's going to scream I quit when she turns her elbow backwards. This was another painful segment between these two. It continues, even though WrestleMania is over, it continues between these two. I really wish, and by the way, shout out to Lazy J Dragon. Nothing better than a lazy dragon. Welcome to the channel. He is now a Sound Off superstar. This was a painful segment, and I was left just wishing that Ronda had somebody with her to do the talking for her. I really wish, and I think she would benefit by having somebody to do the talking for her, because the problem is, so much of her aura, so much of what made her work the first time she was in WWE, all those years ago, was she came off as a badass. The people were behind her, the people liked her, and look, there were people who liked her tonight as well, but the badass aura about her is all but gone. This is not the same Ronda Rousey that we saw on television 3 years ago, 4 years ago. I get that it's hard to maintain that aura. She was only around for a year. It's not like she's been on television for three straight years. She was gone for a very long time. She's back. That aura is gone. It's totally gone now. Brock Lesnar has managed to keep his aura, and he's been back in the company for a decade. There's a way to do it. The majority of that time, Brock Lesnar, guess what? He had somebody with him doing the talking for him. And I feel like if she had that someone, whether it's Paul Heyman or somebody else, if she had that somebody with her and she didn't have to go out there and cut these horrible promos on TV that just sound like garbage, then I think she would still retain a lot of that feel and specialness that she once had. And it's gone. And these promo segments, I mean, they're horrible. They're terrible. She just comes off completely wooden and unnatural. So here we are again. This is going to continue on. We knew that coming out of WrestleMania. I can only hope their next match is better than the first one. We had Butch making his SmackDown in-ring debut tonight. Butch, one-on-one with Xavier Woods. No longer King Woods. He is no longer doing, I guess, the royal gimmick. They're not announcing him anymore as King Woods. Good. It ran its course. Also looks like Butch, the way he acts on TV, is still waiting for those rabies shots. Before the match, Kofi and Xavier were on the mic, and they said that WrestleMania is like the end of their season in WWE, which would make tonight the start of their new season, which means, as far as they're concerned, all of the records reset. I'm thinking to myself, what is this, AEW? That's how the AEW rankings work. At the beginning of the year, everything resets and they start all over again. Now WWE is talking about records resetting here in this program. Butch got the bridge of his nose busted open in the opening couple of minutes. I didn't see how it happened, but he got a little boo-boo on his nose. He was bleeding down his nose as they headed into the break. He gave Woods an X-plex, which was cool, on the apron. Butch was in control coming out of the break. Pete Dunne went for some sort of a running kick. Woods avoided it, and he scored an inside cradle that Pat McAfee referred to as the backwoods for the three count. Hell of a first showing for Butch, losing in his debut. Not that it's the death of him or anything. I mean, let's be honest. I was going to say, halfway through this, I figured Butch was losing. It just felt like Butch was losing. And, you know, the New Day lost to WrestleMania, so maybe this would be a comeback win for them. And that's exactly what it was. He lost. But then I kind of stopped myself and I said, really? Did he really lose? He already lost. The moment they rebranded him as Butch, he already lost. The outcome of this match was almost irrelevant. After the match, Butch slapped Sheamus. He slapped Ridge Holland. They were trying to calm him down. And then he goes and he sits on the top turnbuckle with his arms crossed, as on commentary, like they said, like a child, which is exactly what I was thinking. He came across like a child in this segment. He really does come across as one of the little rascals. That's what they were going for. Woods tweeted after the match, "Yes, I officially have added a new finishing maneuver to my repertoire. The small package is no more. The era of the backwoods has begun." And he said, "Everybody about to get rolled up." Where's he been? That's been the last 10 years of WWE. Everybody's about to get rolled up. What the hell have I been watching for the last 10 years? Everybody's about to get rolled up. Have you not been watching these shows? I used to have a counter. I ran a counter for an entire year counting all the roll-ups, all the distraction roll-ups on this show. After the break, they showed highlights of Sami Zayn's loss to Johnny Knoxville at WrestleMania, which, again, was a very polarizing match. Was it stupid? Yes. Was it entertaining? Absolutely. And I said that in my WrestleMania review. I was sports entertained by that match, but I know there was a lot of hate directed at the match, which I can understand. Zayn was in the back with Adam Pearce, and he said that he wants his respect back. Good luck with that. He wants to get his respect back, and he goes, look, the next person to walk through that door, the door to Adam Pearce's office, I want a match with that person. Pearce said, the next person? He goes, yep, the next person who walks through that door, I want a match with them. And so, of course, 2 seconds go by, and who walks in? Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre walks in. Sammy tried to worm his way out of it. He said he would wrestle the second person to walk through the door, but Adam Pearce said, no, you said the first person, and so tonight it's going to be Sami Zayn one-on-one against Drew McIntyre. And then next, we had Joe Alonso, and if you're wondering who Joe Alonso is, don't worry, it's not really important. Joe Alonso against the Ring General. This was the big moment here on SmackDown tonight. It finally happened. Volta has made his debut, full-time debut. I mean, he's been on Raw before, but his WWE main roster debut, his first appearance as Gunther. It finally happened here tonight. And as I said earlier, I figured this was going to be the case when they rushed that match with Bron Breakker on Tuesday. It was the only, I mean, unless they were getting rid of the guy, what other sense would it make to kill what could have been a long build to a big championship match by just throwing it out there unannounced on Tuesday and beating the guy in the middle of the ring? And even though they did that, it was actually a really good match. And if you didn't see it on Tuesday, if you watch nothing else from NXT, go back and watch that main event between Bron Breakker and Walter, because they had a hell of a match. And it's too bad that it couldn't be built up for a big show or a big takeover-like special. But late in the game, I guess, they decided, hey, we want him on SmackDown this week, and so they had to rush everything. But he did not come alone. He was introduced by one of his Imperium stablemates who has traveled with him. His travel companion, his travel buddy, has come with him to the main roster, and that is Marcel Bartel, who is no longer Marcel Bartel, which is his real name. They have to own everything, so his new name, his name on the WWE main roster now, is Ludwig Kaiser. I almost said Ludwig Borga, but I caught myself there. Ludwig Kaiser is Marcel Bartel's new name. He introduced Gunther, who did get Walter chants late in the match, and Pat McAfee, he tried to cover it up by saying, they're chanting Gunther. Nice try, Pat. At least Walter won his first match, unlike Butch. Walter went in there, he killed Alonzo with chops, he just demolished this man. This was a good old-fashioned squash, as it should have been. This guy should not have gotten a lick of offense in on Walter in this match. So he destroyed this man. He won with the powerbomb into the stack pin. I thought this was a fine showing. And look, I know that it might work against me in the end, and I may end up looking like a fool. But they need people on SmackDown, in particular on SmackDown. They need challengers. Eventually, this is someone who could be groomed for Roman Reigns. Not yet, not now, but eventually. It's like Cody Rhodes on Raw. I think there's multiple reasons why Cody Rhodes should get a big push and is going to get a big push. One is, and I said this, the moment that the news broke that Cody Rhodes was leaving AEW and very likely going to end up in WWE, I said, if WWE plays their cards right, they treat Cody Rhodes like gold, and in the future it could show other people in AEW, hey, it's not so bad over here. You might want to, you know, the grass is greener on the other side. But beyond that, they need stars. It makes no sense to sign these people or call them up and then bury them in the mid-card. You need stars at the top of the card. We have plenty of mid-carders. WWE's entire roster is filled with mid-carders. 95% of this company is mid-carders. That's not what they need more of. They need people at the top, not in the middle. The middle class in WWE, actually the low to middle class, is quite robust. It's the upper class that barely exists in this company. So a Cody Rhodes should be pushed and developed into somebody who could potentially go on to beat Roman Reigns and become the champion. And Walter is the same exact thing. You build this man up and eventually he can be at the top of the card as a believable villain to whoever the champion is. He can be that dominant guy who goes in there and chops the shit and beats the shit out of people. So I'm hoping they realize this. And this was just step one into what hopefully will be a sustained push for this man on the main roster. But along the way, as he racks up wins, what gets me excited is the fact that now that he's on SmackDown, you know, I look forward one day to having those battles with Walter and Sheamus, Walter and Drew McIntyre. Those are the matches that I'm looking forward to seeing. And as somebody just asked in the chat, Ty, hey, shout out to Ty. Where is LA Knight? I don't know where LA Knight is. I heard a horrible rumor the other day that they are considering LA Knight not as a wrestler, but as a manager. It's like the fucking Adam Cole thing all over again. Not that the guy can't talk. I actually think LA Knight would make for a great manager when he's done wrestling. LA Knight is another one who we should have seen him on television tonight. Where's he? He lost to Walter. Walter was leaving. Walter was on his way out of NXT, and he beat LA Knight. Walter goes to SmackDown. LA Knight, where is he? He's still on NXT. When does he get the call up? They're going to bring him up as a manager? Makes no sense. Hopefully that is nothing more than a rumor. But he was not on the show tonight. Now, conspicuous by his absence, I mentioned Marcel Bartel, he gets a new name. I mentioned Walter. Where's the other member of Imperium? Where's Fabian Aichner? These guys were the NXT Tag Team Champions even just a few weeks ago. They lost their titles. And now, we saw on Tuesday on NXT, Aichner walked out during the match that Imperium had with the Creed brothers. He walked out. Dissension in the ranks. Then the rumors came out that we were going to see Walter and Bartel on the main roster, but not Aichner, and that concerns me. You know, Fabian Aichner, for those of you who actually listen to my NXT reviews, going all the way back to the Cruiserweight Classic, that was the first time I ever saw Fabian Aichner. I didn't know him from fucking Adam. And I saw him for the first time in the Cruiserweight Classic. And, you know, for a Cruiserweight tournament, he looked like one of the bigger guys. And there he is in the ring doing these springboard moonsaults and all this stuff that I didn't expect him to be doing. And he really impressed me. And every time when Imperium would be having these kick-ass matches, you know, Bartel's very good, but Aichner is the one that I would always single out and praise because he always impressed me with the power moves that he would do and stuff like that. So when I heard this rumor and now tonight, you know, I see that he was not part of the group to get called up, I am mystified as to why that would be. Assuming that wasn't something he personally requested, that his boys would get called up and he would say, no, I don't want no part of the main roster. Not that he wouldn't have valid reservations. I can't imagine that's what happened here. It's possible that he just didn't want to go up, but let's assume that's not the case. Then why would they not do that? The only other thing I could think of is that they have plans for him as a single star. You know, I've heard these other theories that, you know, they want to have this like German or Austrian group or whatever, and he's not German. He's not. He's Italian. He's more Italian than Tony D'Angelo is. He was actually born in Italy. But he fits so perfectly in that Imperium group that I don't buy that as an excuse either. So I'm hoping, you know, I still think it's a mistake, but I'm hoping, okay, if they're holding him back, there's a reason for it. Maybe he gets a big singles push. Maybe he gets a big singles push on the NXT brand. Of course, it is that time of year where you worry about budget cuts. And so I worry about Fabian Aichner's name winding up on the budget cut list. Makes no sense to me. Of all the members of Imperium, of course, we know Walter's in a category on his own. Aichner was always the one that impressed me more. Why would he not get the call up? That was puzzling when I first heard that. To me, the Bloodline, Imperium, it sold itself. Eventually, you can build to the Bloodline against Imperium on SmackDown, but you can only do that if you have a third man. And there's still time to call him up. Just because he didn't show up on SmackDown tonight does not mean that Fabian Aichner cannot join his fellow soldiers at some point in the future. They can still course correct and call him up, and I'm hoping they do. I'm hoping they reconsider. Now, if they have big plans for him as a single star to give him a big push on NXT, well, all right, we'll see. I don't see any evidence of that yet. But there's still time to call this guy up at some point. He could do a run-in during a match. Who's this guy? He's got a mask on or something. He pulls it off. Oh, my God, it's Fabian Aichner. Although God only knows what fucking name they would give him. I'm sure they would give him fucking Daffy Duck or some kind of name like that. But there's still time to call him up. Very bizarre, though, that he would not be part of the group right out of the gate. Raquel Gonzalez, another one of those NXT names that I mentioned, who was on SmackDown tonight making her very first appearance. Raquel Gonzalez is no longer Raquel Gonzalez. Raquel Gonzalez is now Raquel Rodriguez. Why, you ask? I don't have a clue. Don't look at me. It's not a radical change, but that one made me laugh. When they introduced her as Raquel Rodriguez, I kind of laughed, and I was like, good Lord. You talk about change for the sake of change. That is literally the definition of what this name change is. This name change is fine. I mean, believe me, it could have been a lot worse. But change for the sake of change. That is the very definition of what they have done here with this one. Raquel Gonzalez is not her real name, so you can't use that as an excuse. But Los Lotharios wander on in as she's backstage being interviewed, and here come Angel and Humberto, and they wanted to give her a kiss, and she told them both to get lost. I wish she would have said the same thing to the person when they walked up to her in the back and told her about that name change. Get lost. Go away. This is a good move, though. They need new women on this show. Talk about it all the time, the lack of depth, not only in the tag team division, but in the women's division as well. They need new faces. Raquel Gonzalez is one of those new faces, so a welcome change. No sign this week on television of Bayley or Asuka. Asuka, as far as I know, was still not cleared. Bayley is. Bayley's ready to come back. I guess they're just picking their spots with her. But until they come back, we need other new faces in the women's division. So this is a positive addition to the women's roster. Next up, we had Happy Talk. But before I get to Happy Talk, let me again remind all of you to calm down, by the way, in the chat. We have a lot of Raquel fans here. I could tell. We have a lot of Raquel Gonzalez fans here joining us in the chat tonight. Or shall I say, although I don't think they're officially hitched, but Mrs. Braun Strowman. Yeah, the two of them are an item, believe it or not. But the next segment that we had here was Happy Talk. We had Happy Talk. Yes, you see Undertaker on your screen. Every time I hear Happy Talk, that is the reaction I have as well. With Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss, who was introduced as the winner of this year's Andre the Giant Memorial Budget Cuts Battle Royal. Corbin, of course, was the loser coming out of his match with Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania, so he had a very somber, sad look on his face. You know, he was very sad on his way to the ring. I missed the first few minutes of this segment here because I got a text message. I got a text message on my phone telling me that the benches had cleared in the Mets game after Francisco Lindor got drilled in the face by a 90-mile-an-hour fastball in the game between the Mets and the Nationals. And thankfully, I believe anyway that he's okay, but I saw the replay of it, and that was incredibly scary. Anytime a baseball comes at your head at that rate of speed, it's very, very scary. But this is the second day in a row now that one of the Nationals pitchers has hit a Mets player in the head with a ball. Second day in a row. I think the Nationals need to retrain their players how to throw a fucking baseball. So when I came back, Corbin was asking Moss to tell him a joke, as if his job depended on it, because it does, he said. And Moss told a joke. He said, what do you call a guy who treats his friends like garbage, who thinks he's better than everybody else, a guy who dresses like he's going to a funeral for Tommy Bahama? You call him Baron Corbin. And then he laughed at his own joke. Moss fought back when Corbin attacked him. and he got cheered for it. There were cheers for Madcap Moss as he fought back. They brawled around ringside, then back into the ring, and Moss finally clotheslined him out over the top rope. And then he destroyed the Happy Talk set. He stomped on Corbin's stupid hat to end the segment. The best part of this is that this is the end of Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss. I've been waiting for this now for a while. They are officially done. And look, and you saw with the cheers that Moss got at the end of the segment tonight. Moss has potential. He looks great. He's got potential. And okay, fine. They use this gimmick to help establish him. Fine. He's established now. He was established as a goof, but he's been established now on TV. All these people, you know, they're so busy changing everybody's name. You know who needs a name change? Madcap Moss. You don't need to change Raquel Gonzalez's name. You don't need to change all these other names. There's somebody who could use a good old-fashioned name change and get rid of the stupid suspenders as well. He needs a whole makeover he needs, starting with the name. Thankfully, this is over. Backstage, Jinder Mahal and Shanky spoke to Adam Pearce, and Jinder told Pearce to get Ricochet out of witness protection because he wants a match for the Intercontinental Championship, which he is getting on SmackDown next week. Ronda Rousey interrupted the segment, and she glared at Jinder until he got scared, and so he and Shanky, you know, they basically ran away. Rousey asked Pierce if she's getting her I Quit match with Charlotte, like she asked for, and Pierce said, look, it's not official yet, but I should have an answer for you sometime tomorrow. Drew McIntyre, one-on-one against Sami Zayn. McIntyre dominated the match, if I could even call it a match. It went 2 minutes. He dominated. He set up for the Claymore kick. Sammy left the ring. He hopped the barricade, and he hightailed it up the steps into the crowd until he got counted out. That was it. That was the match. That was the whole thing. This sucked. It was almost entirely Sammy just stalling and running away. I mean, that was the story that they were telling here, but it made for a bad match. And a rematch has already been signed for next week. Again, part two will be Drew McIntyre against Sami Zayn. Michael Cole introduced us to the story. And this may have been, now that I think back on this show, this was probably my favorite part of SmackDown tonight, believe it or not. And if you would have told me coming into tonight that the Lacey Evans segment would be my favorite part of SmackDown, I would have said, what piece of machinery, heavy machinery, fell on your head? But it's true. Michael Cole introduced us to the story of Lacey Evans. Lacey Evans is back. There he is on my screen. Minoru Suzuki, I will murder. Murder Grandpa. Thank you, Matthew Scheffel, for the super chat, by the way. I appreciate that, and I will read your super chat here in just a few minutes. When I spot Minoru Suzuki out of the corner of my eye, I have to stop and acknowledge him. I have to show respect. I want him coming after me. So Lacey Evans is in the back. There's a pre-taped segment. And she's standing in front of this backdrop of some kind. And none of the sassy Southern Belle shit that she was doing before when she first debuted on television. She dropped that. It's a tape promo where she's just standing there. She's wearing camouflage pants, like a black top. She talked about being born in a small town with a father who struggled with mental health issues and drug and alcohol issues. She said her mother put everything they owned one day in black bags, picked her up from school, and they fled without the father knowing because they didn't want him to know where they were going, and they left. They wanted to get as far away from him as possible. And she got emotional talking about this, and after that, she said they moved around from state to state. They stayed in women's shelters and other places, camps and things of that nature. All the moving around made her realize that she could adapt to and overcome anything in life. And they spliced in photos of her in uniform from her time in the U.S. Marines. They spliced in photos of her playing with her kids and, you know, posing with her kids. She called herself a mother, a wife, a daughter, a United States Marine, and a WWE superstar. And when this was over, she got a very nice reaction live inside the arena. And Michael Cole said that her story would continue next week. This was tremendous. I thought this was tremendous. This was night and day from the stuff that she was doing the last time we saw her, that terrible Ric Flair angle that thankfully they dropped once they found out she got pregnant. She was herself in this segment. She came across as a real person. She came across as being genuine. It did not look like or sound like or feel like she was on television playing some kind of a character. Again, the sassy Southern Belle. She's out there, you know, playing this character straight out of, I don't know, the 1950s or something, the way that she was prancing around on TV. Just this dated character. You know, my big issue with the whole character, and she pulled it off as best she could, but it just felt like a ripoff to me of the Liberty Belle character from GLOW. And I don't remember the timeline offhand which came first, but I'm guessing the GLOW TV show on Netflix came first and then Lacey debuted. But that's how it always came off to me. It just came off to me as ripping off a character right out of the Netflix show, and a character that in and of itself just felt completely dated and out of place on this show. And here she was genuine. She was Lacey Evans, the real Lacey Evans. And we got to learn about her and learn what makes her tick and learn about her background and things that a lot of people probably never knew before about her. So she came off great, I thought, in the segment. And look, not that gimmicks can't work. Gimmicks can be fine. But then there are times where it's better to just be who you are, to be genuine, to be yourself. That's how she was here in the segment. Sometimes the best thing to do is to just let the person be who they are. Let them go on television and tell their story. Because she came across here like the biggest baby face in the world. Like, I wanted to root for this woman to go win the world championship when this was over. You know, sometimes you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You have somebody with her background. Again, everything she talked about there. And she's a Marine. You know, she's tough. She's got that bravado about her. You know, and the one thing I will say, even though, I mean, her finishing move itself is not my favorite, you know, finisher, but the, you know, calling it the woman's right, I will say that is one of the better finishing move names that I have ever heard. So I don't know if she's going to keep that move or, you know, change everything about her moveset or whatever, but that was one of the more clever names for a finisher, was the woman's right. But, I was a big fan of this, and now I'm looking forward to seeing the second segment next week. It looks like we might be getting a whole series of these before she actually debuts on TV and wrestles again. So this was great. I thought this was actually the high point of the entire show. We had one half of the new women's tag team champions, Sasha Banks, going one-on-one with one of her opponents on Raw next Monday, Liv Morgan of Monday Night Raw, traveling over to the Blue Brand here. Who I guess SmackDown borrowed her tonight. Liv and Rhea Ripley are going to face Sasha Banks and Naomi for the tag team titles next Monday. Sasha had Naomi out there with her. Naomi sat in on commentary. Liv did not have Rhea. They said Rhea Ripley was not there. They are, go back to Monday night. I mean, they're obviously teasing a fallout between Rhea and Liv, who have not been together for very long and should not be together for that much longer because, as I said during my WrestleMania review, before all of a sudden all these websites started reporting it and it became reality, I said that, hey, Rhea Ripley would make a fine addition to this new faction that Edge is putting together. I said at the moment I saw Damian Priest walk out during his match at WrestleMania. And now it sounds like that might actually be what ends up happening. And I'm here for it. I think that's the perfect role for Rhea Ripley. And unfortunately for Liv Morgan, that means that Liv is going to be losing her partner because they're going to go in there on Monday night. They're going to lose. And that may be the catalyst for Rhea Ripley, whether she beats the shit out of her or she just says, look, you and I, this is not working. However they're going to work it, the quicker they get her out of this tag team thing and back as a singles, a heel single, the better off Rhea Ripley is going to be. So there was no Rhea Ripley on the show tonight. Liv was out there by herself. Michael Cole did congratulate Naomi and Sasha on becoming the first black women's tag team champions. So they made it a point to kind of drive that home here at the beginning of the match. So they started out here. They went to a break. After the break, Sasha hit the Three Amigos and followed that up with a frog splash for a near fall. They showed Shayna Baszler and Natty in the back watching this match. Well, here's Natty. Okay, so Natty, well, here's the screen, and Natty is, you know, the usual fucking pose. Shane is on one side, Natty. I don't know what Natty was looking at. Maybe Natty saw like a naked guy in the corner or something. I don't know. Maybe she saw a mouse, you know, running across the floor, and she was very concerned and didn't want to take her eye off of it. I don't know. I don't know. We never actually found out what she was looking at. Clearly, it was not the screen, unless she has an eyeball on the side of her head. Hey, Anima Master. Maybe Anima Master can tell me what Natty was looking at. But right now, Anima Master just became a sound-off superstar. That's all I care about. So, Liv and Sasha, they traded pin attempts. Sasha rocked her with a kick to the head. Liv came back, caught Banks with a knee. And Liv missed the splash in the corner, bounced back, though, and rocked her with a knee strike. They fought to the top rope. Finish came when Sasha gave Liv a superplex, and Morgan then, after impact, after landing, she kind of hooked Sasha's leg, and she pinned Sasha Banks. She kind of turned it back around on Sasha. Sasha was shocked. She couldn't believe it. So they gave Liv a hope win here heading into the tag title match on Monday, where they will not win the tag team titles. So this was good. You know, for the time it lasted, it wasn't anything overly memorable, but the action, honestly, this was the longest match and the only real match we got on the entire show. Every other match we got on the show was either 2 minutes long or it was a squash match. There was practically no wrestling on the show this week outside of this one match. So I'll take what little I can get. We ended the show not with wrestling, but with Roman Reigns and the Bloodline. And Roman Reigns, boy, he's looking okay, huh? All those rumors about him having a busted shoulder. He looked fine on Raw Monday. He looked fine on SmackDown tonight. Is it possible he suffered a minor injury and that's why he's doing these promos and not wrestling? Maybe, although he doesn't wrestle on TV very often. I'm guessing he's not really hurt, for those who were concerned about that. So the Bloodline came out. This was all built around them telling us what the next step would be for the Tribal Chief. Roman said that at WrestleMania, he smashed Cowboy Brock and took the WWE Championship. He said that he's done it all, but there's still more for the Bloodline to do. And he turned his attention to his cousins, Jimmy and Jay. He said, the Usos, you know, I have two titles, and you guys, you have two titles, but really it's one. It's one set of titles. He goes, that's not enough. He said that it's time that they unify the tag team championships. You don't say. It's long since time for them to unify the tag team titles. Had they strengthened the tag team division and not split up a whole bunch of tag teams and or failed to call up new tag teams, they might have a robust tag team division on both shows right now, but they don't. If you pulled them all together, it wouldn't be so bad. Individually on Raw and SmackDown, though, the tag team divisions are very thin. So I'm all in favor of unifying the tag team titles and having the Usos go back and forth between Raw and SmackDown. So that's what Roman wants them to do. He wants them to go to Raw and take the Raw tag team titles, take them for the Bloodline. Then we are interrupted by Shinsuke Nakamura's music. Shinsuke Nakamura lost his tag team partner at WrestleMania, Rick Boogs, whose knee buckled under him. He suffered a torn quad and a torn patella. He's undergone surgery, and he's going to be gone for a long time. He could be gone for a year. If he trains harder, maybe a little less, but he ain't going to be coming back so soon. So Nakamura is back to being a single. Here comes Shinsuke Nakamura. Roman cut him off, though, before he could even speak, which, honestly, if you listen to Nakamura's promos, is probably not a bad idea. And he said, look, Shin lost his partner. I get it. I understand it because, hey, Jay, didn't you lose Jimmy for a year? Right? Jimmy tore his ACL. Jimmy Uso was gone for, I think, over a year. It was about a year, maybe a little over a year. He goes, so we can relate. The Bloodline can relate to what that's like to lose your partner due to an injury. He goes, he wanted to show some love for Nakamura, some love from the Bloodline. And he said, come on in. And he gives Nakamura a hug. Roman Reigns was doling out hugs here in the main event segment on SmackDown tonight, but it was only to lull him into a false sense of security. Because after hugging this man, Jimmy and Jay reared up, and they super kicked Shinsuke Nakamura right in the face, and they knocked him down. Before I say anything else, I want to get excited about the idea of Shinsuke Nakamura, who I was so excited to see when he came into WWE in 2016. I was in Dallas at that NXT TakeOver show. I was right there on the aisle. I had an aisle seat. And we got the first big Nakamura entrance, and he came out for that match with Sami Zayn. And man, I tell you, the excitement in the building was palpable. People were so excited to see the arrival of this man in NXT. And they went out there and they had one of the best matches in NXT history. And they were off to the races with Shinsuke. And even when he first got called up to the main roster and he wrestled John Cena on TV and he went to WrestleMania, they had AJ Styles against Shinsuke Nakamura. Oh my God. Right? They wrestled in New Japan at Wrestle Kingdom. We're going to get them at WrestleMania. The WrestleMania match wasn't nearly as good, but they got progressively better as they continued to feud. But I would love to be as excited now sitting here as I was when he first debuted and came into the company, but it's been a few years. And you look at the way that he's been booked recently, and he is just so diminished on this show now that I just can't possibly bring myself to take him seriously as a contender for the championship. Does anybody in their right mind look at Shinsuke Nakamura as a viable, credible threat in storyline to Roman Reigns and his championship? The answer is no. I will answer the question. It's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. If you say yes, you're a liar. Because there is nothing that would lead anybody to believe that this man has a snowball's chance in hell. He's got a snowball's chance in hell of taking that championship from Roman Reigns. Took the pin from the Usos at WrestleMania. Now I understand they had to go to the finish early and all that, but he took the pin at WrestleMania. Even in this segment, they hug him. They kick him in the face. They pose over his body as he looks up at them. He doesn't even come back to fight them. He looked like a fucking fool. I cannot take Nakamura seriously as a challenger for this title. If they're going with him as the next challenger, we don't know that. It could have just been something they just wanted to do in this segment. I have to assume it's going to lead to a match. Whether it's the Backlash main event or it's a television match, it's probably the Backlash main event. It's probably going to be Reigns against Nakamura because they don't have anybody else. It's exactly what I talked about at the end of my WrestleMania review. And I said it before WrestleMania. I said it in my WrestleMania predictions that when Roman Reigns wins, and he was my pick to win, when Roman Reigns wins, and he's now the unified champion, they're going to come out of WrestleMania, and they're not going to have anybody for him to face. Unless you jump right into the Drew McIntyre match, they don't have anybody credible for him to face. So what happens? You end up with Shinsuke Nakamura challenging for the championship. It's a joke. The joke, but they don't have anybody else. This ending, though, this ending really came off very, very flat. And it just really reinforced how thin they are at the top of that division right now. That this is the best that they can come up with. Sad. What I can get behind, though, is the idea of them doing a unification. And I don't know if they're actually going to go through with it or not. You know, the Usos could lose. RK-Bro is still very popular on the Raw brand. They're one of the top acts on Monday Night Raw. So it's not a guarantee that they are going to have the Usos take... I think there's a very good chance of it because I think they want that visual of the bloodline having all the gold. I'm should be surprised if Roman Reigns shows up next week and says, Paul, where's your gold? Put Paul Heyman in the ring with Ricochet. Have him take the Intercontinental title. You may as well. Title's already dead. They might give it to Jinder Mahal next week. You're probably better off giving it to Paul Heyman. So you'll have Roman Reigns with his two titles. You'll have the Usos with their two tag team titles. You can give the Intercontinental title and the United States Championship to Paul Heyman. He's got two shoulders. He could put one over here and one over here. He can cut his own promos. He doesn't need anybody to talk for him. Paul Heyman's going to be a hell of a champion. And then they can have all the gold. They can have all the gold. And hell, if they ever did add Naomi to the bloodline, she's got the women's tag team title. Only question is, who beats them? At some point, they have to be beaten, right? That was the problem you ran into with the NWO. They were so unstoppable for so long. After a while, it was like, all right, Sting, we need you because they're beating the hell out of us. And, you know, at some point, something's got to give. The good guys got to get one over on the bad guys at some point. Otherwise, it gets boring. So we had hardly any actual wrestling, as I said, on this show. It was mostly just angles and promos and whatnot, but great Lacey Evans promo. Disappointing endings to Raw and SmackDown. You know, for the two post-WrestleMania shows this year, you look at the way Raw went off the air on Monday night, it sucked. You look at the way SmackDown went off the air tonight, I like the unification announcement, but same thing here, very flat, disappointing ending. I thought the endings to these shows this week sucked. Weren't very good at all. That's the best they could come up with. So, over to TNT we go, as we travel on over to the wonderful world of Rampage. Yes, AEW Rampage. Where would, yeah, that's a good question. Where is Shotzi? We haven't seen Shotzi Blackheart. I could be wrong about this, but I think a few weeks ago, I remember reading that Shotzi was dealing with a back injury, I think, or I think she has something with like a bad back. So it is possible that she's dealing with some kind of an injury. I know I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. I have no idea where she is, but it could very well be an injury issue with her. But let's talk about this Rampage show. Rampage was absolutely light years better than SmackDown was tonight. We open with Bryan Danielson, one-on-one against Trent Barreto. They were already in the ring. No entrances, bell rings. We're going right into it. William Regal was on commentary, and he buried the best friends on commentary, and I loved it. He called them a bunch of half-wits, and I laughed, because it's true. I'm here for William Regal just burying the shit out of people on commentary, including Excalibur, the man in the mask. Bury him, too. Bury me. What did Rusev say that time? What did Rusev tweet when they made the announcement about him being in the casket match? Was it a casket match with The Undertaker in Saudi Arabia that they then changed and then they put him back in it? Was it bury me softly? Is that what he said? Danielson went for a tope early on. Trent, though, caught him and dropped him with a side suplex on the floor. Trent ran at Danielson, but Danielson moved and Trent ran face first into the ring steps like a moron. Heading into the first picture-in-picture break. So Snow Dog says that Shotzi wrestled a dark match in Brooklyn. So Brooklyn was what, last week? Was that last Friday? Well, then I guess they don't have anything for Shotzi. There's your answer. If she's not injured, then they just don't know what to do with her. You know, the problem with Shotzi is they turned her heel. The people actually liked her. So they turned her heel. That's where they went wrong with Shotzi Blackheart. Danielson went for a pile driver. Trent countered out of it with a backdrop. Trent hit a tornado DDT for a near fall. He set up Danielson for a top rope Hurricane Rana, but Danielson slipped through and crotched him. And Danielson went for a top rope backdrop suplex. Barreto, though, shifted his weight and turned it into kind of a modified bulldog for a near fall. Danielson came back with kicks. Barreto countered with forearms. And Trent caught Danielson with a half and half and a lariat for two. Danielson caught Barreto with a running knee, the Busaiku knee. I love saying that, the Busaiku knee. And after that, he hit the Gotch-style pile driver. I think Minoru Suzuki might have something to say about that on Dynamite next week. Oh, I just realized. We can get a rematch. We can get Danielson-Suzuki part two. After that great YouTube match they had. Danielson caved his head in with kicks and locked on an inverted lapel lock. It looked like he was trying to twist this guy's head off his shoulders. And he picks up the win. You could tell that Bryan Danielson is just dying to go to New Japan and start wrestling some of those guys. He has said in interviews he's waiting until the fans in Japan are allowed to cheer and boo. They're still not allowed to cheer and boo. They can clap like seals, but they can't cheer and boo. He doesn't want to go over there until the fans are able to actually react the way they want to react. And I can understand that. It'd be like going over there if they had their own Thunderdome era in front of no people. Why would he want to go over there and do that? So he's waiting, but you could tell he's just chomping at the bit. He's like fucking Butch when it comes to... I picture him in the back just like Butch, just waiting to just go to Japan. Because this was a New Japan style... This is a Bryan Danielson New Japan style match. That is how they work this match. You could just tell he's dying to go over there. And I'm dying to see it. I'm dying to see it. I'm dying to see Danielson and Okada. I'm dying to see Danielson and Ibushi and Danielson and Ospreay and all those guys. one of these days, whether it happens here in AEW or it happens there in New Japan. I would actually rather see it in New Japan, some of those matches, but I'll be here for it. I'll be here for it when they're ready. So Lexi Nair was, why can't they react? Because of COVID. COVID restrictions are still in place. So they cannot cheer, they cannot boo because it might spread particles into the air, and they haven't lifted those restrictions yet, apparently. So, and actually, I think they also still have attendance restrictions as well, I believe. I think it might be 50% capacity. But yeah, and there's no indication that they're going to be lifting any of that anytime soon. So, Lexi Nair was in the back trying to interview Hook, who was sitting down. He had a backpack on. He looked like he literally looked like he was waiting for class to be back in session. Like the bell rings and he's on his way to class in high school. That's what he looked like here. He had a backpack on. He's eating a bag of chips. And so he got out. He didn't say a word to Lexi. He completely ignored her. He got up to go leave. And all of a sudden, Danhausen pops out of the garbage can and he puts a Danhausen curse on him. He's trying again. He's trying to curse this guy. And Hook just looks at him and he throws the bag in the trash and he walks off. So the way I see it, I think that this goes one of two ways. You know which way I'm hoping for. This goes one of two ways. Either Hook one day just eventually murders Danhausen, which gets my vote. Or Hook grows to like the guy and become very protective of him. Like a dog being protective of their owner. And anybody who tries to fuck with Danhausen, he murders them instead. And they become almost like this odd couple, not a tag team, but like an odd couple pairing. Either way, it's got to go one of those two ways. I prefer option A, personally. They come back from break and America's top team is in the ring. Scorpio Sky said that he made a very brave decision getting rid of the open challenge for the TNT title. He was quickly interrupted by Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti, who walk out on stage. And Sammy says, you know, the title is not supposed to make the man is supposed to make the title. And right now, you're not doing a damn thing. He asks Ty to translate sexist piece of shit in Portuguese, and she translates it as Dan Lambert, which I guess was supposed to be funny. Lambert said maybe he is a sexist, but he's also a father. And he said that the father in him thinks that their parents have suffered enough humiliation for a lifetime. Ethan Page called them a PR disaster waiting to happen, which I can concur with that. That got cheers from the crowd, by the way, him saying that. Then he looked into the camera and he said, I'm a father too. And he says, you know, my daughter is sleeping right now because I'm a good parent. But he goes, he basically just does not want his daughter to grow up to be like Ty Conti. He wants his daughter to grow up to be like anything but Ty Conti. And Sammy told Ethan Page he didn't give a shit about his kid. Wasn't nearly as cool as when Brock Lesnar said it to Heath Slater. Sammy said that if they hated what they did to Lambert's car, wait until they see what they do to them next week. You know, I give WWE crap, and rightfully so, about manipulating the crowd noises and all that. And AEW clearly did the same thing here in this segment. It was so obvious. It was so obvious. Piping in cheers where Sammy and Ty were getting a negative reaction. The reports from the tapings on Wednesday were that when they initially came out, they got cheered. And then as the segment went on, they got mercifully booed, or mercilessly, I should say, mercilessly booed by the audience in the building that night. Which, based on how they edited this segment, seemed pretty obvious to me. And they said it was distracting them to the point where I think Sammy had to acknowledge it. Now, that didn't air on TV, but obviously it got to them. Remember what I said on the stream on Wednesday? What did I say on the Dynamite stream on Wednesday night when Sammy and Ty came out for that stupid picture-in-picture flashcard gimmick that he does? They both came out together on stage. And I made the comment then. I said they're treading on very choppy waters here, because what this is going to end up turning into is exactly what happened with Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch, and there was a fan backlash against them. They both came off a lot less cool when they put them together and they were booking them like nonstop together on television, and the people rebelled against it. And I think even Seth later on said that was a mistake doing that, and they're not going to do that ever again. I'm getting the same vibe here from this. This is going to blow up in their face. It's already happening. The backlash has already begun. The other part of this is that they don't come off like baby faces here. They're trying to come off as cool and all that. They're coming off as a bunch of obnoxious brats. They come off like heels. This is not going to work. So if they insist on doing this, I think the right thing to do, frankly, would be to lean more into it as the backlash continues. Lean into it if you continue to get reactions like that. And ultimately, turn them heel. Because I think that might be the best role. If you're going to keep them together, fine, but they have to go heel. Otherwise, they don't need to be together on TV. Ty can do her thing and Sammy can do his thing. But if you want them to go heel, well, I mean, the fans were already telling you something just based on the last couple of weeks of reactions that they've been getting. This is going to blow up in their face. Unless this is being done by design, which I don't think it is. I figure, you know, they're doing this. They think it's Dan Lambert, right? Easy way to get heel heat. Because Dan Lambert is one of the most hated men in AEW. And I said this with the Cody and the Brandy stuff. Dan Lambert was getting cheered. That's how much the people were hating on Brandy in those segments. It was kind of like entertaining television, but my God, it was a fucking fail in every sense of the word. And I think we're getting a little bit of a taste of that here with Sammy and Ty. So if I were them, either turn them heel or back the fuck off with this, because this ain't working. They ran what may be a new weekly feature here, very brief, where Chris Jericho, who was, I don't believe he was on commentary. Now, he couldn't have been on commentary. It's impossible to not hear Jericho if he's on commentary. But he did the segment where he nominated QT Marshall as his Sports Entertainer of the Week. QT Marshall was out next for a match with Swerve Strickland. They went to a break a minute into this. After the break, it didn't last long. Marshall hit a pop-up uppercut, went for the diamond cutter, but Strickland countered. Hit a flatliner and a kick to the back of the head for the win. Ricky Starks was on commentary. He stood up at the announce booth and he said the next week in New Orleans on Dynamite, Swerve should grab Keith Lee and face him and Powerhouse Hobbs in a tag team grudge match. And so that match is official for Dynamite next week. You know, NOLA is Ricky's hometown. He's from New Orleans, so he's going to go in there next week and he's going to get a hero's welcome. I don't know if they're going to boo Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland, but they're not going to boo Ricky Starks in New Orleans next week. We had Red Velvet against Willow Nightingale. How are you going to have Jeff Hardy and someone named Willow working on the same show? This was an Owen Hart Cup qualifying match. Willow earned her spot after wrestling Mercedes Martinez of the Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor show 1 week ago tonight in a losing effort, but she impressed, and so she wound up here in this qualifier. And the crowd was firmly behind her. I don't know if this was her hometown or what, but the crowd was really, you know, in her corner, backing her up in this match. Nightingale missed the moonsault. Red Velvet hit a pair of sling blades and then a hook kick for two. Willow hit a spine buster and then a pounce that looked great, followed by a cannonball in the corner, but she only got a near fall out of it. Nightingale went for a suplex. Red Velvet fell behind her and into a terrible-looking backstabber. This looked awful. And then she hit another corkscrew kick for the win. This was the wrong result. They screwed the pooch on this finish. This was the wrong result. And I understand Red Velvet's their girl. She's their homegrown talent, and Willow is not. She's kind of like a tourist popping in for a visit. Willow Nightingale should have won this match. Willow should have qualified for the tournament and entered the Owen Hart Cup. The fans were not happy about this outcome. Those last, the last 60 seconds or so were, frankly, not very good when Red Velvet made her comeback. But Willow looked good. She was over, and I think it was the wrong outcome. I think it was the wrong result. I would not have had Red Velvet win this match. Lexi Nair was in the back interviewing Tony Nese, and he was very upset about something. I don't remember what, because I wasn't all that interested by what he was saying, but he was interrupted by Smart Mark Sterling, who gave his card to Tony and wanted to offer his representation and told him, walk with me. They walked away together. So it looks like Mr. Sterling there might be picking up a new client very soon. And then it was a battle for respect. It was time for the main event. It was Jon Moxley, one-on-one with the new Ring of Honor Pure Champion, Wheeler Yuta. Heard a lot of good things about this match from the taping, and so I've been looking forward to this ever since Wednesday night. They did not disappoint. Before the match, Yuta mentioned they did the Mark Henry pre-match promos. And you had Moxley on one side of the screen. He had his back turned. Wheeler with his ROH Pure title was on the other side of the screen. And Wheeler mentioned that their first match is the match where Moxley just destroyed him. He killed this kid in that very first match they ever had together. Their second match is the match where Brian Kendrick was pulled about an hour or two before the show. And so Wheeler was chosen as the substitute that night for Brian Kendrick. Had a better showing, but still lost again. And so tonight he was looking for respect. Moxley said it's not his job to show him respect. He goes, this ain't pure rules. He said his only job is to spill his guts all over the mat and find out once and for all what he is really made of. Yuta was in the ring first. Moxley made his entrance through the crowd. And as he walked through the barricade, and right when he was about to get into the ring, Yuta just shot through the ropes and took him out with a running dive. Just took this fucking guy out right there on the floor. They brawled into the crowd before ending up back in the ring. Moxley gave him a curb stomp on the ring steps. And Yuta came up bleeding from the head. It looked hard way, to be honest with you. I mean, he may have bladed, but whether it was a blade job or not, he came up bloody. The blood was just, you know, pulsating down and pouring down his face as they went into the final break. Of course, blood wouldn't be an AEW main event without blood. Yuta, when they came back from break, that cut, his entire face was covered in blood. Covered in blood. And he hit a diving splash off the top rope down onto Moxley, who was laid out on the timekeeper's table. So you would think, okay, he just killed this guy with a dive out onto this table. He was leaking blood out of his head. It was leaking all over the ground. And even though he splashed Moxley through the table, Moxley is the one who made it back into the ring before he did. Eventually, Yuta did make it back in to beat the 10 count. Yuta caught him with a deadlift German and a second one. He went for a third. Moxley elbowed his way out of it. Yuta blocked the King Kong Lariat and slammed Moxley and then rubbed the blood across his chest. The crowd came alive. They were behind this kid at that point. He stomped the shit out of Moxley with kicks a la Bryan Danielson. Then he hit a diving splash for two. Yuta transitioned into the crossface. Moxley, though, escaped. And he clobbered Yuta this time with the King Kong Lariat. Went for the cover. Wheeler kicked out. Moxley came back with punches, and so Yuta was no-selling them. Moxley, though, ends up biting the open wound. And they ended up brawling over by the ropes. Moxley ended up hitting a paradigm shift. He goes for the cover. And Yuta kicked out of the paradigm shift, and this crowd came alive. They came unglued, which is not something you see very often on Rampage because they tape the show late. Usually the crowds are very subdued, they're very tired, but they were into this. Now, I don't know, it's possible they taped this out of order. I don't remember the reports from the building. It is possible, though. They could very well have taped this match first. I'm going to assume not, but it's possible. It's a taped show. You can pretty much order the matches any which way you want to. But the crowd came alive once he kicked out of that paradigm shift. Moxley had a look on his face like he couldn't believe it. He locked on the bulldog choke. He had Yuta's blood all over his arm. He fought it. Moxley let go. He drove the knees into his ribs. Yuta came back, though. He locked on his own bulldog choke. And then he applied a sleeper hold. Moxley, though, rolled through. He started brutalizing him with elbows. Moxley comes off the ropes with a regal knee right to the side of the head, and he hits the high-angle paradigm shift. I've criticized him doing the high-angle paradigm shift in the past as basically just a double underhook slam. This was a high-angle paradigm shift, where he picked him up in the air, double double underhook into the air, and then dropped him straight down on his head. So it's actually one of the better ones that he's done. And he goes for the pin, and Yuta kicks out again. People are going nuts. Moxley locks on the choke one more time. This time, though, Yuta finally goes to sleep. John Moxley wins a bloody battle. The real winner of this match was Wheeler Yuta. Even though he didn't get the pin, even though he did not get the submission, even though he came out on the losing end in the standings or the record books or whatever you want to say, he came out of this looking like $1 million. He came out of this the real winner tonight. Danielson and Regal made their way down to the ring. They're surrounding Yuta. Yuta's now on his knees, blood pouring down his face, blood pouring down his chest. And he's basically telling them, bring it on. Regal, his physical stance and the look on his face, it looks like he's about to do something. It looks like he's making it look like he's going to haul off and punch him or kick him or do something to this kid. And so Wheeler gets to his feet. Instead of attacking him, Regal extends his hand for the handshake. And Yuta looks at it for a little bit. He's a little skeptical. And then he puts his own hand out and he accepts Regal's hand and he shakes his hand. And everybody cheers, the ultimate gesture of respect. Moxley, as right before they went off the air, Moxley, you could pick it up on the mics, tells Yuta, now the real work begins, as they went off the air. It has been a hell of a couple of weeks for Wheeler Yuta. I mentioned that he won the Pure title, I think from Josh Woods it was, at the Supercard of Honor last week, and he had that title with him tonight. And then to go in there tonight against Moxley, even though now he has lost three times to Jon Moxley, this match was a win for Wheeler Yuta here tonight on this show. He had this crowd behind him in a way that I have not seen in any of his matches so far, either in Ring of Honor or in AEW or anywhere else for that matter. And the blood actually added to things in this match. There was probably too much of it. He was bleeding all over the place, but it did add a lot to the match. And he just kept coming, and he wouldn't give up, and he kept kicking out of big moves until finally he just went out. And obviously, you know, the way they ended things here, it looks like Yuta now has been welcomed into this Blackpool Combat Club. They didn't say officially now if he's a member of the club, but, you know, Moxley making that comment about, okay, now the real work begins, makes me think that maybe he is now going to be an official member of this group. We'll have to wait until Wednesday and find out. But this is exactly what I wanted to see, you know, when they first teased the idea that they might put Moxley and Danielson together as a group. And I said, they're going to wrestle at Revolution, which they did. And my hope coming out of that was that they would keep things going and they would both earn respect for the other. They would form almost like this two-man power trip type thing. I had no idea they were going to bring Regal in. I thought that was a fantastic addition. That was a very nice surprise. But I still wanted to see them add one or two younger guys kind of under their wing, and Yuta is perfect. He's perfect for that role. But what you saw in that main event tonight was textbook how to create a new star. Yuta's been getting more television time each week. This right here was the culmination of that. This is how you create a new star. And to this audience, Wheeler Yuta after tonight is a made man. Bigger than best friends. It's time for him to move on from that. The guy is a made man. That is how you create new stars. So I thought they did a fantastic job with that main event. It was a hell of a hell of a battle between those two. They opened the show strong. They ended even stronger. So I enjoyed this episode of Rampage. Now be aware that Rampage is on earlier next Friday. It's going to be on at 7 Eastern before SmackDown, not after SmackDown. There will be no live stream next Friday, so there will be no SmackDown or Rampage review next week because I'm going to be doing commentary at the House of Glory show. And if you are in the New York metro area, come on down to the NYC Arena because we have a lot of really great matches coming up next week, including Natalia Markova against Tasha Steelz. And we also have Jeff Cobb is in the house. Low Key will be there. The Briscoes are going to be back. We got a lot of big things planned. So, and I believe the show will be on Fight TV. It's not on the schedule yet, but last I heard, it's supposed to be on Fight TV. So we'll see. But anyway, that's where I'll be next Friday. So a little programming note: we won't be streaming live next week like we usually do. Let's check the polls out. We will begin here with, by the way, you know, was that Elite? Yeah, it was Elite Thunder Gaming in the chat. That's a great point. Yuta, I mean, it would be insane for Yuta not to be in the Owen. And I would even, I mean, honestly, I would even have to consider Yuta to be one of the favorites if he's in that tournament. You know, if tonight was a star-making performance and the crowd, you know, and who knows what the crowds will be like in different cities, but the crowd is behind him that much. He absolutely has to be on the short list, I think, of potential winners if he's in that tournament. But as far as SmackDown goes, 37% thumbs up. 62 of you have given SmackDown this week a thumbs down for the post-WrestleMania edition. On the other hand, 86% of you said thumbs up to Rampage, and 14% thumbs down. You can always, as you well know, as you guys well know, you can vote in these polls at Solomonster on Twitter. That is my handle. Follow me on Instagram at TheSolomonster. I'm on there as well. Getting very close to 3,000. I have greatly neglected Instagram. Otherwise, I'd be at probably 20 or 30,000. We're slowly climbing. We're slowly climbing on there. But Twitter is always the main social media channel for me. So you can always find me on there. There's always something going on there. Always some kind of controversy or people tweeting stupid shit. Anyway, let's check out your super chats. And I do thank you for those of you who have dropped super chats here. Bash says that the bots are at 14%. Thumbs down for Dynamite. Yeah, you might be right. Or for Rampage. Damn bots. Yeah, I agree. There should not even be a qualifier for Yuta. They should just say that after his performance in that match tonight, he's automatically in. He's earned a bye right into the tournament first round after that match tonight. Tuxedo T Servo. No, Jeffrey, I don't do TikTok. I should. I have an account. I set one up. I have not actually set it up yet. No Snapchat, no TikTok, no Bebop or any of these other bullshit platforms, WhatsApp. I don't know. How many of them are there? I've lost track. There's too many for me. OnlyFans, no. Not yet. Soon. Tuxedo T Servo, the absence of Asuka is ominous, although the prospect of a graphic declaring that Kana is all elite later this summer would cheer me up. Well, I don't think you're going to get that. Nayef Al-Safar, thank you for the super chats, my friend. I hope you are doing well here on this Friday night, which I believe might be Saturday morning where you are. Flamethrower with the $5 super chat. Tonight was the first time I saw something special in Yuta. That was a hell of a performance. Indeed it was. You might say it was money. Like the money that Ted DiBiase is blowing around on my screen right now. Thank you, Amiibo, for the $2 super chat right there. Loki. Loki Agatho with the $25 super chat. Missed a lot of the live streams due to work, but always catch them afterwards. Thanks for all the hard work you put in to make this a great listen and one of my favorite podcasts. Keep up the great work. Well, Loki, I appreciate that very much, and I'm glad that you at least have been able to check them out on the download. All of these streams are always archived pretty much instantly. So they're always up there for you if you miss it live. That way you can give it a like after the fact. That's usually when most of the likes come in, frankly. Is after the live streams, because not everybody remembers or not everybody is able to like them during the live stream. Andy Jonathan, Samoa Joe against Murder Grandpa. Guess we're going to see if Joe's concussion issues are better. I can't wait for that match. That's going to be great. I'm not saying it's going to be Joe Kobashi from 2005, but I am looking forward to that in a similar way. D'Arlo Renford, Shinsuke against Roman is okay, but we all know it circles all around Aquaman versus Goro Part 6, LOL. P.S. I am not a bot. I know Aquaman, I do not know Goro. Slop King. Tony Khan desperately needs to log off. It would be better for him and his company if he did. Rodimus Prime with the $20 super chat. Got off work a few minutes ago and read about the results of SmackDown, and I'm glad I missed it tonight. It wasn't much of a show. If you were looking for action, there was none. It was newsworthy in that we saw some new faces, but beyond that, it was not a good show. Epsilon Sama, are you a bot? Wait, am I a bot? I don't know. I might be a bot. Are you a bot? I could be a bot. It's possible. Maybe we're all bots. As a matter of fact, I feel a little naked here. I'm going to bring one of my very best friends is a bot. I have to admit, that one of my close, dear, personal friends is a bot, and I feel like as I read these super chats, I should have him on screen here. And there he is. There, ladies and gentlemen, is WWE bot. And what we're going to do here, I'm going to keep him on screen here as I read these super chats. He can guard the stream. He's going to keep us company here. I want you all to welcome him with open arms. He's a very well-behaved bot. There he is, right there. There you go. He's going to oversee the super chats here as I go along. He is going to oversee things here as we continue on. There's our bot, our little bot overlord, our little bot friend. Dev to Dust. Dog Day Afternoon was a fantastic movie. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I haven't seen it in many years, but it was a very good movie. Yes. Everybody say hello. His name is W. See the little logo there? His name is WWE Bot. He's going to guard. He's going to watch us. He's going to keep us company here. Dr. Scorpio. Don't piss him off, by the way, because he shoots laser beams out of his eyes and he'll burn holes right through you. Don't piss him off. Dr. Scorpio, Butch is like that hyperactive, out-of-control brother or sister you love, but kind of embarrassed to be seen in public with them. This is what he's become. This is what has become of Pete Dunne. French Fry Slut, $5 super chat. With all these name changes, might as well change mine to Hamburger Thought. Sorry for the lack of super chats. Money has been tight. You don't have to apologize. French Fry Slut sounds a lot better than Hamburger Thought, I would say. So I would keep the name as is. Prince Walker with the $5 super chat. Utah is a star. Now we have to see someone fall or fail. Someone fail to join the BCC. D'Arlo Renford, $5 super chat. Thanks, TK. Now I'm going to rewatch The Bicentennial Man from 1999 because of you. I would recommend iRobot. I enjoyed iRobot. By the way, Will Smith banned from the Academy Awards for the next 10 years. He is banned through the year 2032. Let that be a lesson to anybody else who's thinking of jumping on stage and smacking the shit out of somebody in the middle of an award show. Shin Akuma, thank you for the $2. Benno 380. You know, by the way, that wouldn't have happened at the Oscars if WWE Bob was there. He wouldn't have allowed that. He would have taken care of Will Smith before he got within 10 feet of Chris Rock. But Benno says, what are the top three Hammerstein Ballroom / Manhattan Center wrestling shows that you have attended? You know, it would be hard for me to make a top three because there's so many great ones that just sort of blend together. A lot of those Ring of Honor shows, and I wasn't at any of the WWE Hammerstein shows. Or the old ECW Hammerstein shows. So honestly, the one that I would give you is probably Glory by Honor 5, Night 2 from 2009, I believe. 2009 or 2007? No, it might have been 2007. Yeah, I've talked about that one before. That was the one where we had Danielson against Kenta in the main event. And we had Marufuji against Nigel for the GHC title. want to say maybe 2007, that was one of the best shows I've ever seen, period. Andre Israel with the $5 super chat. Buy or sell on awful Ronda promos or egregious Charlotte moonsaults? Oh my god. Oh, you put me between a rock and a hard place here. I would, you know, the lesser of two evils, I would probably go with the... I'd probably go with the Charlotte moonsaults just because they're over quickly, you know? The Ronda promos just sort of drone on. The moonsaults, you know, she goes for it, she misses it, and then she just moves on to the next spot, so it's quick. D'Arlo Renford with the $10. Hey Solo, what is your favorite and least favorite wrestling style? And who is your favorite wrestler from 2000's PWG? Mine is Chris Bosch, the wrestler, not the former basketball player. Well, thank you for clarifying that. Hey, God, I wasn't really paying attention to 2000's PWG. So, I don't know that I have a favorite from that period in that promotion, but... My favorite and least favorite wrestling style? I mean, I like a whole bunch of different wrestling styles. Sometimes I like just the brawling style. Sometimes I like the MMA style, submission-based stuff. I am a fan. I do enjoy the New Japan kind of strong, or the Japanese strong style. And that is your weekly message of Fuck Bully Ray. Thank you from the Nihilist, by the way, for that one. So yeah, I like the Japanese strong style, but I also, you know, I also like a little bit of Lucha Libre. You know, I gained a better appreciation for it watching Lucha Underground. So I'm kind of a mutt. I like a little bit of everything. I don't really discriminate against any particular style. My mood changes from time to time. So one minute I'm in the mood for one style, another minute I may be in the mood for something completely different. There's that Veer super chat. Look at Veer in the crowd. I have come. One of our new super chats. but I would probably go with Japanese strong style, I guess, maybe. I like two people just beating the hell out of each other. Magician Sapphire with the 10. The good. We may have seen a new AEW pillar in Wheeler, Utah. The bad, Sammy and Ty are the new Cody and Brandy. When Dan Lambert, AT&T, gets over... AT&T. Gets over with the crowd... It's the Mantar! $75 super chat from JM. The beast has been unleashed. My God, we have WWE Bot on screen. We had Bully the Clown a moment ago. Now we had fucking Mantar making an appearance. You guys are throwing the stars out at me tonight. It's been a while since I've let out a good bellow like that. That came from, like, deep within. Anyway, Magician Sapphire, I agree. You've messed up badly when Dan Lambert is actually getting cheered over whoever he's in the ring with. Moo has arrived. Yeah, but I gotta say, the timing on these super chats with you guys, it's true. Temjin is, it's true. It's uncanny. The timing is just impeccable on some of these super chats. Hyru with the 10. Buy or sell on the better match. Bryan Danielson against Walter. Roderick Strong against Cesaro. Bryan Danielson against Walter. Gimme. I guess we can't get it right now, but... Gimme. Hyru also says, it's hilarious how each passing week WWE 2K22 gets more and more outdated. Talking about the rosters now? Yeah, I gotta record my next... My Rise Gamer. I'm looking forward to continuing the Solomonsters journey through the PC. WrestleMania week just completely killed me, so I'm trying to get back into the normal routine. Samoan fan, WWE breaks up yet another tag team. WWE sucks hard. Well, that's what they do. They like breaking up tag teams. It's their favorite pastime. John Falchetta, maybe Vince had flashbacks to Giant Gonzalez. So Raquel he thought Raquel was the daughter of the Giant Gonzalez, or the daughter of Jose Gonzalez, the invader, maybe, who killed Bruiser Brody. Yeah, that might be a reason to change her name. Who knows what goes through their mind? There was no need to change her name. It's just, it's dumb. It's not even the name. The name is Raquel Rodriguez, whatever, it's fine, but it's just so stupid. They just have to make their little changes. They just can't help themselves. It's unreal. Rizzo. What's going on, Rizzo? So Dakota and Raquel get back together, but now Raquel gets called up. Dolph keeps the title at Stand and Deliver, but loses it the next night. Well, two nights later. So I ask, what the fuck was the point of Stand and Deliver? Cameron Grimes is the North American champion. That's about it. Otherwise, the entire show basically feels completely outdated. D'Arlo Renford, buy, rent, or sell on IC Champs 2000. Ric Flair, Shelton Benjamin, or Rey Mysterio? I thought it was cool to see Flair with the IC title. It was like a token thing at the time. Uffman Entertainment, Mets got the last laugh, beat the Nationals 7-3. That's right, fuck the Nationals. Fuck the Nationals. Teach your players how to throw baseball. It's disgusting. Matthew Scheffel, Willow Nightingale should have won, not Red Velvet on Rampage. I agree. Lazy J Dragon, one of our new channel members. Which show after WrestleMania was bad? Raw or SmackDown? SmackDown was worse than Raw. I think SmackDown was actually worse than Raw. Sports Fanatic 407, why do you think AEW wrestlers constantly take shots at WWE? As an average fan, it just seems cheap, not hating, but I feel like they do it almost every week. I don't know that they do it every week. I think they do. I think some of them do it just because they think it's fun. I think some of them do it because they think it's cool. I think some of them do it because maybe they just don't like WWE. I agree that it's probably happening too much. But I mean, you know, unless you're doing it on TV, if they want to take shots on social media, like little... Yeah, I'm not talking about like going in hard on them or whatever. If they want to make little digs and jokes on social media, I don't see what the big deal is. What I don't need to see is them incorporating it into the television show, which for a while there, Jericho and guys like that were doing it on almost a weekly basis. Cody was guilty of that. It just gets to a point where it just comes off like, all right, you're giving them all this publicity. Like, all right, you've made your point. Now we can just kind of move on and focus on your shit, you know? I mean, I enjoyed the back and forth back in the day between WWE and WCW, but this is not that. That was totally different. That whole Monday Night War period, this is not that. So we don't need the constant shots back and forth. Scott Woodford just got home, went to Whose Line Is It Anyway tour. Interesting. Is Drew Carey still doing that? I know he was. Or is that Wayne Brady? The Carlosis. Unfortunately, you predicted the Sonny and Tammy Sitch situation exactly right. She has now killed someone in a car crash. Yeah, I want you to pay very close attention to what I say on the podcast on Sunday. We're going to lead off with that. I have a lot to say about that. Brock Benningfield, sending the love, brother. Brock, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you for turning out tonight. Joseph Brooks with the $9.99. Who would you say was the MVP of the year 2000? The Rock, Triple H, or Kurt Angle? I think I just answered this question recently, didn't I? They all played their part. Rock and Triple H both carried that company through much of the year. So I think Rock and Triple H equally, frankly, were MVPs. If I had to pick one over the other, though, I might lean towards Triple H. But I would give it to them equally. Over Kurt. Groovy Goose, the issue with Sammy and Ty is that they act like how they do on their vlogs. It's like they're trying to come off as cool. It has the adverse effect. They don't come off as cool on TV at all. You know, I enjoy a lot of the stuff in the vlogs. yeah, there's sort of a... There is a likable quality about it. It's like a bunch of friends just kind of hanging out and goofing off and living life and having a good time. On television, it just does not translate the same way, and they come off completely obnoxious. That's why I said either turn them heel or don't have them come out together on TV, because the crowds were already telling AEW, like, they're already kind of revolting against it. They're not coming off in a way, I think, that makes them look good. There he is again, Murder Grandpa on our screen. EJ Slemp, did Excalibur have a career-ending injury? He's only 41 and he retired at 26. I'm wondering if he can have one more match and after he finally unmasks. I don't know, actually, if he had an injury or not. It's a good question. I don't know. D'Arlo Renfer with the $11. Buy, rent, or sell. Bicentennial Man. AI, Artificial Intelligence, from 2001. Or iRobots, 2004. iRobots? Well, iRobot was the Will Smith one. I would go with that one. I didn't see Bicentennial. Wasn't that Robin Williams? I didn't see that. And can you rank Wheeler, Yuta, Crimson Mask on the Muda scale? It's pretty high up on the Muda scale, actually. Yeah, I would say... I don't know, but it's in that upper echelon of the Muda scale. Yeah, when you're leaking on the ground, you're pretty high up there on the scale. Amiibo Guru says, F the Nats, disgraceful. Go Mets, that's right. That's right. F the Nationals. And F the Phillies, too, while we're at it. That fucking fanatic. Marcus Metcalf, favorites for the men's Owen Cup. Wheeler, Yuta, and Hook. Favorites for the women's, Serena Deeb and Toni Storm. I agree on the women. I don't think, you know, Hook winning the Owen, I don't know about that. But Yuta absolutely should be in that tournament, without a doubt. The problem is, if you put Hook in the Owen, he's got to lose. If he's not going to win, he's going to lose, and he hasn't lost yet. So do you put Hook in there if he's not going to win? Ray Wright, and what's going on, Ray? She says, I would subscribe to your OnlyFans. Oh, thank you. Thank you. At least I have one customer. I have one customer on my OnlyFans once it goes up. Jason Case, when it comes to Tony Khan, in the words of Jeff Hardy, I think he takes Ambien to go to sleep. That's a prescription if you didn't know. Shin Akuma, thank you for the five. Shin, we had Shin at the end of SmackDown. I like this Shin better. Do not pass go. Hi, WWE bot. That's right. You're joining late. We have WWE bot joining us here. He runs a bot farm. He has a whole army of bots who look just like him. And tonight he is standing guard here. He is watching. He is observing diligently here as we read your super chats. And anybody who sends me a mean super chat, he's going to come after you. You don't want that. You don't want WWE bot to come after. Temjin Zephyr, loved Rampage tonight a bit more than SmackDown. The Yuta and Moxley match left me with saying one word, wow. Who knew that Yuta would be cheered more now than before? I'm telling you, it's a star-making performance. That's how you create new stars. By having them go out there and putting them in a position like Yuta was put into tonight, to get the crowd behind him, to show, you know, how tough he can be. And Moxley, to his credit, again, he did his part to really, you know, help put this kid over. So this was the biggest match of his career in AEW to date. Rizzo with the $10 super chat. The WWE bot shoots lasers out of its eyes. Out of curiosity, can this bot pay a visit to my ex-wife? Just joking, if any law enforcement is in this chat. The WWE bot does not make house calls. Just for the record. Scott Woodford. WWE robot told me I won a prize. Is it true? No. He did not tell you that, by the way. I know that because he's not programmed to say that. So you're lying. He doesn't like it when people lie. You better be careful. The Nihilist with the $30 Bully the Clown super chat from a little earlier. got a raise today. I'm thinking we'll get Scorpio Sky again. Also, congratulations, by the way, on your raise. That's awesome. I'm thinking we'll get Scorpio Sky against Sammy Guevara for the TNT title at Battle of the Belts 2, along with Jonathan Gresham defending the ROH World Championship. What do you think Battle of the Belts 2 card will be? Well, we know that Thunder Rosa one-on-one against Nyla Rose. If it's an hour, then they only have so much time on the show. Let's assume it's an hour-long show like the last one was. Okay, next Saturday. If Rosa against Nyla, they're doing the tag titles on Wednesday, so those probably won't be on the line. Hangman's defending against Cole on Friday, so that's not going to happen. I think a TNT title match on that show would make sense. And how many... I don't remember how many matches they had on the first one. I want to say three. Three title matches, maybe? Jade. We still don't know when Jade is going to defend against Marina Shafir. Do they do two women's title matches, though, on the same show? Probably not. Gresham defending the ROH title is interesting. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen. But then again, you know, we are getting the ROH TV title on the line on Wednesday. My issue with that, though, is Gresham has not made a single appearance on AEW television. So how big of a deal would that be? He has not been established yet on AEW television. It's an AEW show. That's really my only issue with that. And then who does he defend against? I don't know. Could be Jay Lethal. You could do Jay Lethal, but Jay Lethal is beefing with Samoa Joe. So, I don't know. But they don't have a lot of time to put a card together. Just like last time. Felt like they kind of waited until the last minute to let everybody know what the card was going to be and put one together. But thank you for the super chat. Nick Eldridge... You got me through some long nights, and I appreciate you. Buy, sell, rent between Asuka, Serena Deeb, and Charlotte Flair. Personally, I would buy on Asuka. Oh, boy. You know, Charlotte has had a lot of really great matches. I know she gets a lot of flack, and I give her flack sometimes for certain things, but... Yeah, you know, I've never denied the fact that she is really good. I like Serena Deeb too. You know what though? I think I gotta go. I might actually go Asuka and then Charlotte and then sell on Serena. But I do like Serena Deeb, but I might have to sell on Serena. Quintus Brown, what are the top five? I don't know. I will tell you some of my favorite teams. FTR right now, I feel like, is the best team in the world. They're having the run of their career right now, so I would go FTR, absolutely. Young Bucks are on that list. Usos, I think you got to put the Usos on that list. Top five tag teams in the world. Briscoes would be on there. That's four. So there's got to be a fifth. Who am I not thinking of? Lucha Bros. When they're healthy. Lucha Bros. I would probably go Lucha Bros. JM with that $75 Mantar super chat from earlier. That's right. I'm corrected in the chat from the other night. It's not FTR. It's FRT. It's FART. I forgot about that. Yes. I misspelled the Young Bucks on the scroll on the bottom. I called them the Youngin Bucks. The Youngin Bucks and FART. JM says, I agree. Ty and Sammy seem like heels on TV together, and I think they should lean into it. Thunder Rosa could use more heels to beat, and I can see that crowd getting into Ty, receiving her comeuppance from Rosa. I think that's a fine idea. The Mount Vernon Kid, the Alpha, didn't watch anything. Was at the movies, checked out Sonic the Hedgehog 2. So just out here, out of respect for you, my dude. Thank you as always. Well... Mount Vernon Kid, I hope you enjoyed the movie. I didn't even realize there was a second Sonic movie out. But there you go. I didn't see the first one. Anima Master. Lads, I don't mean to alarm anybody, but football is finally coming home. Does Solomonster have any interest in football, a.k.a. what you call soccer? I am not really a soccer fan. I don't know too much about any of the teams. I don't hate it. I'm not a big fan. It's never been something that I followed closely. I played soccer a little bit when I was younger, but I don't watch soccer. So if we were to have a conversation about soccer, I would be completely lost. So unfortunately, I don't really have anything to contribute to that conversation, but thank you. Anima Master, one of our new channel members. D'Arlo Renfer, favorite hip-hop or rap and R&B songs from any era. You know what I was listening to the other day? I was listening to the Thong Song by Cisco. I hadn't heard that song, my God, in so long. I was listening to the Thong Song while I made lunch the other day. I used to be quite fond of Whoomp, There It Is. Especially some of the wrestling references that are in there. Undertaker being one of them. Trying to think. God. Baby Got Back. I was listening to like the 90s, one of these 90s retro channels on Pandora the other day. They were playing like all the greatest hits. One right after the other. Yeah. Yeah, I like a lot of those songs. But I mean, in terms of like favorites, I don't know. You put me on the spot with favorites here. I don't know. I like a lot of songs. That's right, Rump Shaker. What was that song? Oh my God. The Informer. Snow. Yeah, I could never understand what he was saying in that song. He would say, Informer, and then he would just go like, something, something, leaky, boom, boom. I never even knew what he was talking about in that song, but it had a good beat, you know what I mean? So I would like, bounce around to it and stuff. A lot of those songs had good beats to them, even if I didn't really understand what the hell they were talking about. Run DMC, Christmas in Hollis. It's Tricky. So, Solo Monster listening to rap made you laugh? We should do a whole stream of me just listening to rap. I would love to play it on the channel. I would get fucking copyright struck into oblivion. I feel like that would be very entertaining. Just to sit here and have a random rap station or like a retro rap station and just play it, not knowing what it's going to play, and then getting my reaction to it. But YouTube doesn't allow for fun things like that. California Love. Yeah, man. Mary J. Blige. Oh, we got Turtlehead. No, wait. Corey. You guys over Corey. Corey Blake. With the $10 super chat. In a span of a few weeks, Wheeler has upgraded from Best Friends to Blackpool Combat Club. I know you love The Sopranos, so buy or sell on who was less likable. Carmella? Or Jan? Oh my God, Janice, without question. Why is that even a question? Janice. She was horrible. She was more of a sociopath than he was. Turtlehead, what's your favorite Barry Horowitz match? The one where he finally beat Skip. He finally got a win over Skip of the Body Donnas. Ray Wrighton, I'll see you next Friday. I'm drunk, so I'm going to pass out. Just wanted to show some love on the stream. Well, thank you, Ray. Yes, I will see you at the House of Glory show. She always finds her way over to me to say hello. And I love her for it. Lakers, Pats, wish they released the Owen Kurt match on DVD. They have it. They have to have it. It was that one dark match that Kurt Angle and Owen Hart had in 98. They taped all that stuff. They have it somewhere. JM with the $12. Ray, we'll see you next Friday. Show love on the stream. You two better not team up and start appearing on the stream together, or the fans will turn on you like Ty and Sammy. Oh, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. D'Arlo Renford, what do you think about Danielson against Ishii? I say, hook it up right into my vein right here. I say, give it to me. That's what I say. All right, wave goodbye to WWE bot. We're going to switch screens here. think WWE bot did a good job here tonight, moderating, keeping the peace and keeping things in check. Did I used to wear the baggy jeans in the 2000s with the oversized shirts? I used to wear everything baggy. I used to wear everything. I was a large, and for whatever reason, I would buy everything in extra large. I still have my old Austin 316 shirt somewhere that even now would look ridiculous on me because it was in an extra large. I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I went through that period where everything was oversized on me, but yeah, I went through that period. All right. Brett, if it was a member chat, not a super chat, that's different. Again, those don't show up for me on, you know, with the super chat. So I don't usually read those because those are just in the regular chat. Those aren't super chats. Those are different. Those just go by. those are different. Those are separate from super chats. Bugle Boy. Oh my God! Somebody mentioned Bugle Boy. I used to wear Bugle Boy. See, now you're taking me back now. Garfield Burke with the $9.99. Gnaw Liston to J. Cole. Epsilon Sama. Which AEW star would you give a bot gimmick to? Dasha. Dasha bot. It just makes sense. Yeah, that's right. You know, Ed's right. All you people in the chat, you're showing your age with all these songs that you're posting here in the chat. All you old people. I had a triple fat goose jacket, and the fucking feathers would come out of it all the time, so I'd have to buy a new one every year. Yep, I had the triple fat goose for the winter. Shinakuma sending more love tonight. A good match to go back and watch is the tag team match in No Mercy in 2002. That was a fantastic match. That was Edge and Rey Mysterio against Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit. That was a fantastic match. I own a Gore-Tex jacket from George Costanza. No, I have a great bubble. I have a great Calvin Klein bubble jacket, though. Winter coat. I love that jacket. Only the good stuff. Fat Farm. No, I never wore Fat Farm. I don't wear Fat Farm or... my God. I'm trying to think of some of these other brands. Crispin. Crispin Wah. Shin Akuma. Thank you again for that super chat. I can't believe somebody mentioned Bugle Boy. I've completely forgotten about that. That Bugle Boy jeans. FUBU. I have come across some really cool FUBU stuff, and I don't buy it because I feel like I'm like not allowed to. I feel like that wouldn't work for me. I would people would like look at me the wrong way or something. Like, why are you wearing that? But you got me curious now. I want to go to my playlist here. What do I have? What like rap or hip hop songs do I have in here? It's mostly like fucking synthwave and 80s and retro wave. But let me see here. What do we got here? Anything interesting? What do I got here? What do we got here? Huh? Ian Dior, Mood. I have that on here. Let's see. Oh, I have, look at this. I have Ninja Rap by Vanilla Ice. Does that count? Does that count as rap? What do you guys think? I'll let you be the judge. It's got the word rap in it, so it must be rap, right? Ninja Rap? What else we got? Got Post Malone. Got some Tupac. How do you want it? We've got DaBaby. We've got Culture Beat. Mr. Vane. That's going back a ways. That's going back to, like, what is that, early 90s? Early to mid 90s? Money World by Looney. The Weeknd? Yeah, of course. I listen to The Weeknd. I'm the whitest man on the planet. Well, we already knew that. We already knew that. And I got a lot of songs in here. Mark Morrison. You got to have Mark Morrison in your playlist, right? How can you not have that? You want a great song, Ooh La La. Ooh La La is a good song. Look it up if you don't know it. Got some Drake, Usher. We'll skip that one. I'm not going to mention that one. Man, I got to clean some songs out of this playlist here. Got to have some Dokken. I mean, come on. Right? That's why I used to love that when they had it on the NWA show, and then they changed it. You got to have some Dokken on your playlist. Oh, Wiz Khalifa, Rich the Kid, Lil Nas X, Meek Mill. I still remember the first time I mentioned Meek Mill on the podcast. I'm like, what the fuck is a Meek Mill? There he is. On my playlist. Oh, what do we got here? What do we got here, huh? Well, I think that's enough for now. There's more on here, but that's just a small Tyga. It's just a small sampling here. Cypress Hill. Rock Superstar. Gangsta's Paradise. All right, well, I told you guys that tonight we are going to have the results. And without any further ado, let us go to Be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
We have been running a couple of tournaments, one for the men, one for the women, just like AEW is now doing with the Owen. And I put the power in your hands, which may have been a mistake. But you guys voted, and so before we do tonight's Be the Booker, allow me to show you the results. We'll start with the men's bracket first, and I think for this we need a good old-fashioned drum roll. So here we go. The winner of the men's Be the Booker tournament, the winning match, the winner of the Slammy, Shawn Michaels against the British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith. Shawn Michaels against the British Bulldog wins out over CM Punk versus Damian Priest. This is the match that you voted on as being the best match that I booked in the entire tournament. And I don't disagree with you. I probably would have voted for the same thing. I think that is a great result. Shawn Michaels against the British Bulldog. But now we have the women's Be the Booker tournament. Drum roll, please. The winner of the women's bracket for 2022 in Be the Booker is Becky Lynch against Lacey Von Erich. This is where it jumped the shark. How are you going to vote for Lacey Von Erich to win anything in a wrestling tournament? Becky Lynch, as great of a WrestleMania match as she had with Bianca Belair, and a lot of that had to do with Bianca as well, but Becky Lynch is not a miracle worker. How are you going to vote for Lacey Von Erich? It has to be people who never saw Lacey Von Erich wrestle. It's the only possible explanation I can think of for why people would vote for Lacey Von Erich. So the outcome of this tournament just shows that, in fact, the fans sometimes don't know what the hell they're talking about. But you voted on it, and so they get the slammy. Becky and Lacey Von Erich win the tournament, and there you go. So those are your Be the Booker results here for the two tournaments. And there's Asuka. Little Boss, 13, just subscribed to the channel. Asuka should have been in this tournament. Asuka should get the slammy. She's hot. That's what Miguel says about Lacey. She's hot. Yeah, she was very attractive. That's not what this tournament was about. This was supposed to be about the matches. I don't think people were judging it that way. Anyway, let's start anew. So the tournaments are over. Now we're just going to see what match we can book. We'll start with the men. And we begin with the WWE Champion Bobby Lashley. The almighty Bobby Lashley. Not a bad way to start. I like Bobby. I'm a Lashley fan. Let's see who Lashley is going to be squaring up with. Bobby Lashley going to go one-on-one with Eric Bischoff. Eric Bischoff, who looks like he was stuck in an oil well in this particular photo. What is going on? What is going on here in this image? I don't know. Bobby Lashley against Eric Bischoff is an automatic fail. I know that much. Holy shit! Look at this! It's my boy! JM! Dropping the $200 Super Chat bomb! The Beth Phoenix growl. Here at 1:20 in the morning. I just screamed, and everybody downstairs is probably wondering what the fuck is he screaming about. Holy shit, JM, thank you. He says, one last run-in tonight to show appreciation for all of the great content. Thank you, sir. You deserve it. I am not worthy. JM, coming in with the surprise run-in here at the end, $200. Holy shit. JM, thank you. Love that super chat. I think that growl just scared away WWE bot. I think he ran away. Well, anyway, that men's Be the Booker was a fail. And so the only thing left to do now is to see if we have... Now, usually the way it works is we get a pretty decent men's Be the Booker. And then we just screw it all up with the women. But let's see if we can do... Maybe we'll do the reverse this time. Let's see. Oh my God. We start with Toni Storm. Two pies to the face, Toni Storm. What a sad, sad night that was on SmackDown. Toni Storm gonna go one-on-one with Medusa. Well, we did the reverse this time. We screwed up on the men's, and we had a pretty good be the Booker for the ladies. Toni Storm against Medusa. Even Toni Storm with pie crust on her face against Medusa would be a hell of a match. I like it. That is a winner. That is an absolute winner, is what that was. So there you go. We did good there. We ended on a decent note. We started out a little shaky with the Be the Booker there, but I think we ended up on a pretty decent note. See, now I'm starting to get the hang of the of booking the women here now, booking the women's matches. I think we're improving. I think we're doing better. At least for one night. Let me go back and read all the messages I missed here. GCC305, I would pay to see Solomonster wear some fresh ass FUBU gear on a video stream. No matter the day, it must happen. Love the videos, good brother. Well, Thank you, GCC. He wants to see me in the FUBO gear. Or the FUBU, not FUBO. FUBO is a TV service. FUBU. Isn't that Damon John? Scott Woodford, I saw Vanilla Ice perform Ninja Rap and Ice Ice Baby at a Maximum Magazine model search in Minnesota. That's random. Tomas, go to bed solo. You're drunk. No, I'm not drunk. I am going to go to bed here soon, but I'm not drunk. Garfield Burke, any DMX? No, I don't have any DMX songs in my playlist, no. D'Arlo Renford, no Wu-Tang Clan or Old Dirty Bastard or Busta Rhymes on the list of music. Nope. Nope. They're not on there either. Frost, what is your favorite Disney songs? I don't have any. Can't think of one. It's a Small World. Is that a Disney song? It's a Small World after all? I don't know. Loop Cannon wants to know, have I ever met Bret Hart? Yes. Let's see. We got some final, I think we got some final ones rolling on in here. D'Arlo Renford, no Perry Cuomo. And Tomas, can I get a growl for 1/100th of what JM sent? There you go. That's what you get. For the $1.99, you get Sound like Vince McMahon. I wrestled Pat McAfee at WrestleMania. Don't talk me out of it. Pat McAfee. Thank you, Tomas. And I believe with that, I am all caught up on your super chats. One last look at the poll here. Again, this is the Rampage poll. 85% thumbs up on the Rampage poll. SmackDown gets a whopping 37% thumbs up. I think we know what you guys like tonight. And Tomas says, perfection. There you go. I gave you a little growl, a little baby growl. A little baby growl. What do we got? 330 on the likes here? Make sure you hit that like button before you get out of here. More underrated, Evil Uno, Stu Grayson, or TH2? TH2 is very talented, but as far as underrated, I'll go with Stu Grayson by far. Evil Uno seems like a really nice guy outside the ring. And in the ring, he's a very capable wrestler, but he ain't no Stu Grayson. Maybe Wheeler Yuta has replaced Sammy Guevara as one of the pillars of AEW. He's a pillar. He's a pillar, just like Sammy is, though. He doesn't replace Sammy, but I think he could absolutely be one of those young stars that they build around going into the future, absolutely. And they've invested a lot of TV time in him. So you got to push the hell out of him, you know. You're putting him in the ring with Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley and, you know, some of the biggest names in the company. You better have plans to push this kid. Getting some very valuable airtime. And Helico will always have a place in my wrestling fandom for that balcony dive on Lucha Underground. That is a moment I will never forget from that one episode where might have been the night where they won the Trios titles, actually. Him and Son of Havoc and Evil East. But that image will always be burned into my brain. All right, so I'm going to be back with you on Wednesday. That'll be the next live stream, Dynamite, which is looking like a pretty loaded show coming up on Wednesday. And now we know that Samoa Joe will challenge Minoru Suzuki for the Ring of Honor television title. I am greatly looking forward to that. Again, no stream next Friday. I will be at the Hog Show this Sunday, episode 751 of the podcast. I will be talking about the Tammy Sitch story, and we'll talk about Nash Carter. We'll talk about all the news of the week, Raw, SmackDown. I'll have additional thoughts on that, NXT, all that good stuff. So check out episode 751. That drops on Sunday. thank you for making this a very fun stream. It's been one of the crazier Friday night streams, honestly, that we have had in a while. And you guys brought it tonight with the Super Chats. And JM, again, thank you for that little $200 bomb he snuck in there right at the very end. I love you, brother. Thank you very much for that. So be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great weekend. And I will see you back here again for more Sound Off Live on YouTube next Wednesday for Dynamite. Hit that like button on your way out. Have a good night. Take care, guys.